Welcome to the Wednesday Gathering, a live Christian Science teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting, hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those with a computer, our web address is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive. Now, let's begin this Wednesday Gathering with singing Hymn number 183. Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is Being Watchful. The hymns are 183, 68, and 207. I shall be reading from the Amplified Bible and correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. Before I start in with the Bible, the Amplified Bible, I just would like to read a short poem from the 1935 issue of the Christian Science Journal, and it's called Watch. The author of the poem is Charles A. Griffith. Stand, porter, let no earthly dream deface the tablet of thy mind. Open thy thought to heaven's bright beam of light and truth, and thou shalt find the power of love to fill thy day with joy supreme, in God's own way. And then one more excerpt is called, it's a short analogy article from the February 16th Sentinel from 1974 called Who Goes There? By Sheila Mary Rowley. Come to our front door and you will meet our little dog. She's an expert doorkeeper. Even before you arrive, she hears you. With a bark and a scamper, she runs to the door. Are you a friend or not? No one can get by until she finds out. She's our watchman and guard. She welcomes in friends, but no one else. So we call her Porter. Can you guess why? Her name is taken from a very important rule in the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, by Mrs. Eddy. Stand Porter at the door of thought. How can I forget this rule when she's around? Each time she plays Porter, I remind myself, guard your mental home. Watch what you are letting into your thinking. Why is it so important to stand porter at the door of thought? Well, everything we do, everything that happens to us, starts with our thinking. So loving, God-like thoughts show up in loving, God-like lives. Then what should we do with unkind thoughts, or afraid, or sick thoughts? We say, no, you can't come in. Wrong thoughts have no right to take up any place in our thinking. We're a home for God's thoughts only. Sometimes a wrong thought comes that seems like a good thought, may look good on the outside, but if you're not sure, question it. Ask, now, thought, are you really loving? Do you come from God? Are you honest and truthful? If the answer is no, then say no, you can't come in. Then quickly fill your thinking with good and right thoughts, so that there is just no room left for anything else. Mrs. Eddy tells us, there is no door through which evil can enter and no space for evil to fill in a mind filled with goodness. Christ Jesus wanted everyone to be wide awake thought porters and watchmen. He said, what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. The Bible, 1 Thessalonians. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We do not belong either to the night or to darkness. Accordingly, then, let us not sleep as the rest do, but let us keep wide awake, alert, watchful, curious, and on our guard. And let us be sober. Ephesians. Try to learn in your experience what is pleasing to the Lord. Let your lives be constant proofs of what is most acceptable to Him. Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. And Christ shall shine, make day dawn upon you, and give you light. Look carefully, then, how you walk, Live purposely and worthily and accurately, not as the unwise and witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people, making the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. Speak out to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments, and making melody with all your heart to the Lord. At all times and for everything, giving thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. Nehemiah. The words or story of Nehemiah. In the month Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now, I had not been sad before in his presence. So the king said to me, "Why do you look sad, since you are not sick?" And I said to the king, "Let the king live forever. Why should I not be sad, faced when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lies waste, and its fortified gates are consumed by fire?" The king said to me, "For what do you ask?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. And I said to him, "If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you will send me to Judah, to the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may rebuild it." It pleased him to send me, and I set him a time. So I came to Jerusalem and had been there 3 days. I went out by night by the valley gate towards the Dragon's Well and to the Dung Gate and inspected the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and its gates, which had been destroyed by fire. I passed over to the Fountain Gate and to the King's Pool. There was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. And the magistrates knew not where I went or what I did, nor had I yet told the Jews, the priests, the nobles, the officials, or the rest who did the work. Then I said to them, "You see the bad situation we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins, and its gates are burned with fire? Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a disgrace." And they said, "Let us rise up and build." So they strengthened their hands for the good work. "The God of heaven will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build." Then Eliashib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priests, and built the sheep gate. And next to him, the men of Jericho built. And the fish gate, the sons of Hasaniah built. Moreover, the old gate, Joada, son of Pesua, and Meshullam, son of Besodiah, repaired. They laid its beams and set up its doors, its bolts, and its bars. So we built the wall, and all of it was joined together to half its height, for the people had a heart and mind to work. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabians, Ammonites, and Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were going up and that the breaches were being closed, they were very angry. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem, to injure and cause confusion and failure in it. But because of them, we made our prayer to our God and set a watch against them day and night. I looked them over and rose up and said to the nobles and officials and the other people, "Do not be afraid of the enemy. Earnestly remember the Lord and imprint him on your minds. Fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your homes." And when our enemies heard that their plot was known to us, and that God had frustrated their purpose, we all returned to the wall, everyone to his work. At that time also I said to the people, "Let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that at night they may be a guard to us, and a laborer during the day. though none of us, I, my kinsmen, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, took off our clothes. Each kept his weapon in his hand for days. So the wall was finished in 52 days. When all our enemies heard of it, all the nations around us feared and fell far in their own esteem, for they saw that this work was done by our God. Psalms. O God, you are my God. Earnestly will I seek you. My inner self thirsts for you. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings will I rejoice. My whole being follows hard after you and clings closely to you. Your right hand upholds me. Mark. Be on your guard, constantly alert, and watch and pray, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man already going on a journey. When he leaves home, he puts his servants in charge, each with his particular task, and he gives orders to the doorkeeper to be constantly alert and on the watch. Therefore, watch, give strict attention, be cautious and alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening or at midnight or at cock crowing or in the morning. Watch, I say, lest he come suddenly and unexpectedly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to everybody. Watch. Give strict attention. Be cautious, active, and alert. 1 Corinthians. For what person perceives, knows, and understands what passes through a man's thoughts, except the man's own spirit within him? Just so, no one discerns, comes to know and comprehend the thoughts of God, except the Spirit of God. For who has known or understood the mind of the Lord so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But we have the mind of Christ and do hold the thoughts, feelings, and purposes of his heart. Ephesians. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. Proverbs. Blessed, happy, fortunate, to be envied, is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. I shall now read from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Close your eyes and you may dream that you see a flower, that you touch and smell it. Thus you learn that the flower is a product of the so-called mind, a formation of thought rather than of matter. Close your eyes again and you may see landscapes, men and women. Thus you learn that these also are images, which mortal mind holds and evolves, and which simulate mind, life, and intelligence. From dreams also you learn that neither mortal mind nor matter is the image or likeness of God, and that immortal mind is not in matter. A Christian Scientist occupies the place at this period of which Jesus spoke to his disciples when he said, "Ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. City that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Let us watch, work, and pray that this salt lose not its saltness, and that this light be not hid, but radiate and glow into noontide glory." We must resolve to take up the cross and go forth with honest hearts to work and watch for wisdom, truth, and love. We must pray without ceasing. Such prayer is answered insofar as we put our desires into practice. The Master's injunction is that we pray in secret and let our lives attest our sincerity. The teacher must make clear to students the science of healing especially its ethics, that all is mind and that the scientist must conform to God's requirements. Also, the teacher must thoroughly fit his students to defend themselves against sin and to guard against the attacks of the would-be mental assassin who attempts to kill both morally and physically. No hypothesis as to the existence of another power should interpose a doubt or fear to hinder the demonstration of Christian science. Unfold the latent energies and capacities for good in your pupil. Teach the great possibilities of man endued with divine science. Teach the dangerous possibility of dwarfing the spiritual understanding and demonstration of truth by sin, or by recourse to material means for healing. Teach the meekness and might of life hid with Christ in God, and there will be no desire for other healing methods. You render the divine law of healing obscure and void when you weigh the human in the scale of the divine, or limit in any direction of thought the omnipresence and omnipotence of God. Christian science silences human will, quiets fear with truth and love, and illustrates the unlabored motion of the divine energy in healing the sick. We should become more familiar with good than with evil, and guard against false beliefs, as watchfully as we bar our doors against the approach of thieves and murderers. If mortals would keep proper ward over mortal mind, the brood of evils which infest it would be cleared out. We must begin with this so-called mind and empty it of sin and sickness, or sin and sickness will never cease. Sin and disease must be thought before they can be manifested. You must control evil thoughts in the first instance, or they will control you in the second. Jesus declared that to look with desire on forbidden objects was to break a moral precept. He laid great stress on the action of the human mind, unseen to the senses. Evil thoughts and aims reach no farther and do no more harm than one's belief permits. Evil thoughts, lusts, and malicious purposes cannot go forth, like wandering pollen, from one human mind to another, finding unsuspected lodgment. If virtue and truth build a strong defense. Mind, not matter, is causation. A material body only expresses a material and mortal mind. Mortal man possesses this body, and he makes it harmonious, or discordant, according to the images of thought impressed upon it. You embrace your body and your thought, and you should delineate upon it thoughts of health, not of sickness. You should banish all thoughts of disease and sin and of other beliefs included in matter. Man, being immortal, has a perfect, indestructible life. It is the mortal belief which makes the body discordant and diseased in proportion as ignorance, fear, or human will governs mortals. Mind, supreme over all its formations and governing them all, is the central sun of its own systems of ideas, the life and light of all its own vast creation. And man is tributary to divine mind. The material and mortal body or mind is not the man. Stand porter at the door of thought, admitting only such conclusions as you wish realized in bodily results. You will control yourself harmoniously. The body seems to be self-acting, only because mortal mind is ignorant of itself, of its own actions, and of their results. Ignorant that the predisposing, remote, and exciting cause of all bad effects is a law of so-called mortal mind, not of matter. Mind is the master of the corporeal senses, and can conquer sickness, sin, and death. Exercise this God-given authority. Rise in the strength of spirit to resist all that is unlike good. God has made man capable of this, and nothing can vitiate the ability and power divinely bestowed on man. Be firm in your understanding that the divine mind governs, and that in science, man reflects God's government. Having no other gods, turning to no other but the one perfect mind to guide him, Man is the likeness of God, pure and eternal, having that mind which was also in Christ. And we solemnly promise to watch and pray for that mind to be in us, which was also in Christ Jesus, to do unto others as we would have them do unto us, and to be merciful, just, and pure. This concludes the healing message and the publicly recorded portion of the meeting.
Me when I sleep, touch me in the way thou hast, guide my little feet.